Welcome to The Ingredients, a podcast from Open Pantry Co. about building hospitality that matters. I'm Sean DeVries, and in each episode, I sit down with the operators, makers, and minds shaping the future of venues all across Australia. It's not just about what's on the plate or behind the bar. It's about the people, the systems, and the ideas driving hospitality forward. Now let's get into today's episode.
Hospitality will just never die. It's I feel that industry, as challenging and painful it can be, it will never, ever die.
How did you first get into hospitality? Because obviously your dad has been in hospitality for a long time. How did it come to be that you became part of the business?
I went in when I was like a teenager. I had like those, what was it, in school, you do like work experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of did that. Like I did Orange TS for work experience.
Yeah, cool.
And I liked it. I liked talking to people, and I also liked the fast pace of it. We did yum cha. They call us like tray staff, and you got the section service. So a tray staff, okay. Ultimately, just you got to be really quick, really strong. It's like playing center in netball. You have like the tray, and then you go around and just like sell and offer. So I started with there, and then I remember like I kept looking at like the bartenders. I'm like, oh, I look so cool. Any reason I could, like I thought I was the coolest thing making like a lemon lime bitters behind the bar. I was like, I am a like bartender. Yeah, I did that for a little bit, and then because I liked it, I kind of just stuck with it.
Sure.
I would, you know, school Monday to Friday, and the Saturday Sunday lunches, I would just go work, and I also made friends there as well. So it was really nice. And then after high school, I went to uni, did business management. I struggled a bit with that one. I felt like I could do more, but there were just things that were in the class. It would be like defined business management.
Right.
I would be sitting there like, how does that help me? Because I think by then, like I remember I think it was around the same time when I was at uni trying to learn business management was then I started like running some shifts.
Mm.
And I wasn't popular because I had all these ideas I wanted to implement. But when like you've got a long-standing team and then you go in and you're trying to make changes so early, naturally you're pushed back. Plus you're like this kid. So
yes.
People are like, who the hell is she? But yeah, so like I had these questions, but I just didn't feel that uni really helped. And I talked to my dad a bit about it, and he sort of said like, look, give it a pause and try running. So I was at Tea House at the time.
Mm-hmm.
David's, I think, and there was an opportunity that came up for like a restaurant manager. So he says, why don't you just come and, you know, let this be your uni.
Wow.
Like learn it like on the floor. And I would, yeah, I don't think I was ready for how scary it was going to be because I didn't know. And I think now that I look back at it, he loves me so much to do that. Like you ultimately just give your business to someone in their early 20s with no experience. Like now when I look at someone asked me, would you do the same? Like I would never do that. Like, no way. But he loves me so much that he wanted me to get the experience firsthand. And yeah, 100% did. So I managed David's for a couple of years. And I think I learned most of anything related to people. I feel like hospitality is very much just people and numbers and food, of course. But I just remember fast forward that into just pre-lockdown, like COVID. I feel like that's when, up until then, there was lots of structures in place. I thought I was managing, but I really wasn't.
I
was just following what was already there. But it's good because I got to experience everything. But then afterwards, COVID, it kind of just wiped the ground clean. And then it just, I think, like almost just reset all the structures we had. And it gave us a wake-up call of like, if there's certain structures in place that might not work, it's sort of COVID was like the real stretching point. It just like showed all the cracks. And that's kind of how I like fell into it. And then now I'm in it.
Do you see there any similarities between David's and Tea House? Like in either like the menu design or the staff or anything like that? Like, do you have staff to rotate between the two brands?
And I don't think there should be. I think for too long, because I view Tea House and David's too much from like the back end, because that's all I've ever known. I think for too long, we've always tried to naturally, South Yarra is one of our bigger venues. So
Yes. Big
venue requires just more structures in place.
Mm-hmm.
I think we kept trying to take that, copy paste it in all our other venues.
Mm.
And the more we did it, I actually felt the worse it was for that venue. I think every venue has its own structures.
Yeah.
And a huge thing is floor plan.
Yes.
Like I think when floor plans get designed, like we always left the floor plan ultimately to the interior designer. But I think that's something that is so powerful because you're like, say, one team member. If I can hold 24 guests by myself, you give me 26, I can still do it. It's tight, but I can still do it. But that two extra covers is profit. Because it's the same amount of team member that you would need. And then if you approach that with the whole restaurant, like, okay, what's the magic number for one person? And then can I stretch it a little bit more without absolutely hurting that role? Yeah. But if it's slightly more stretched, that is where, like, I think the magic happens.
Mm.
And if you do that to the bartender, to each section, and all of them is designed in that way, I think it's, it can make a venue the difference of same size, same footprint, but just sometimes taking out tables is a good thing as well.
Yeah.
Because you could have one venue that needs, say, 6 staff, but if it's like, okay, well, if I took out, like, 2 tables, I could run with 4 staff. So just that difference becomes really healthy. And I think that is just one example when it comes to floor plan. There's many. So I actually think there's actually very little similarities. And like, we treat Orange Tea House and David's completely different. Like, we have different managers behind there. We sometimes cross shifts if team members want more hours or they just want the experience. That's great. Mm-hmm. But the training manuals are different. The meetings are different. The menus are definitely different. The chefs are different. I think it's better that way, instead of you get those, like, those copy paste.
Yeah, like a homogenized version, right?
Which I think doesn't benefit either side, from the guests, from us as well.
That must be, I imagine, having those two identities and keeping them extremely different obviously takes more time as an ops person like yourself, like looking at the business and trying to make sure you're making individual decisions. But to keep them authentic and to keep them exciting and make sure that David's isn't like an upscale version of Oriental Tea House, it just means that you've got a really successful business that's going to stay longer. You just have to put more effort into it, right?
I think there's also ways you can do it, like a very small one, socials. So before, I think, they even call it the polish, I felt so attacked, but like the polish millennial Instagram polish is millennial. No longer, yeah, ouch. and now it's more that raw, loud TikTok sort of style. So now because of that, we're approaching differently. But before, when like polish millennial was a thing, we would have 2 different social media agencies. So I think you can also structure that into it. So we, of course, the one social media agency would want to take over both and they would be like, give you a better deal.
Yeah, of course.
We just knew in the bottom of our heart, it might start like 2 different brands, but over time, if it's the same agency, they treat you as one brand. They just copy paste. And then that's where you naturally lose that identity, because socials, you're constantly reminding people about yourself.
Yeah.
So we would have one from another, like I think it was one of our mates that did really well. They would hold David's, and then another agency for Orange Tea House. So that kind of, I think there's ways to keep it separate without doing it all yourself. And I think that's where it is, I think just the effort or the money needs to be spent in that way. And then you'd find that it's actually easier, because you go into one meeting and then it's all different people and it's all like, they, although you might be repeating yourself, you got 2 restaurants, you run it as 2 restaurants, not one.
Is it hard to keep ahead of the trend with socials and talking about the brands in different ways? Like, that's kind of a lot of energy, even going from Instagram influencer to then doing raw TikTok stuff where you might be controlling a bit more of the narrative. Is that a challenge to come up with, even though you're using people to help you with that?
Yeah.
You've obviously got to be the person who ticks off and go, yeah, we can do that, or I like the direction that's going. Is it hard to keep ahead of those trends?
I think that's why it's challenging now, because I can't be ticking things off it.
Yeah,
I feel like they
right.
don't want to see that. They want to see it raw, and they want to see it more
authentic.
A little bit tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
I think they need. So it's, we're currently struggling with that. Like, we know we need to, I know I need to find someone who can do socials the way I think it's heading towards.
Sure.
It's definitely not me. I think it's just that balance between the trust of, okay, they can't go too far, but you're allowed to explore. And I think the venues who do that will be the ones that are very successful. Like, I think we jumped onto that trend, like, pre-COVID quite well. Like, that was my dad. Like, he didn't know anything about social media, but he just knew, I need to find an agency that can do it for me and figure it out how and show me the way instead of doing it ourselves.
Yeah.
So he did that really great. It did wonders for Tea House. I think we're now at a point again where it's like, you need to make that jump. I feel what he feels. He's great. Like, he's so ahead of his time. He's the one that was telling me about like ChatGPT, and like, you know, he's my dad. Like, I should be telling him about technology. And, and I thought it was some scam. I was like, what? I like ChatGPT? Yeah. It sounds scammy. He just said, like, it is Canva for content. You need to try.
That's a really good way to put it.
And I did. And that's where I think, like, my dad's, he's incredible.
Now, we've talked offline before about how you run the business and how you do weekly meetings with your team. You do this amazing one pager that you've talked about before. Do you just want to explain the genesis of that and what that is?
We used to run meetings a lot. Mm-hmm. And the meetings weren't always actually many times they weren't productive. Because they weren't productive, people weren't looking forward to them, and then people weren't bringing their ideas. They would bring them out like a Friday shift, and then people could be in different mindsets. You bring out such a wonderful idea, and then it just like gets backhanded. It just really wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing. And then this template, it started bare, but we just kept adding to it. So then we sort of felt like, okay, what are the key things that need to be discussed at these catch-ups? Put the things aside that aren't very important, and then just, I think, hone in on the points that I think will anchor all of us. Like, chef has their priorities, front of house has theirs. And sometimes, even though we're working on the exact same thing, the priorities can actually create like a bit of friction. For example, we had small thing. Our team members, you know, when you take the dirty dishes in, I think just sorting it out in the back for a while, like I think we spent weeks on just that one point, and it just wasn't efficient. And because the chefs had their priority being like, oh, I don't want to put another dish hand on there. I think front of house sort of said, oh, we can't spend time in the kitchen there. Actually, what fixed it was many months later, we kind of just let that fizzle out and then we just kept rolling it with it. But was when we had the reviews. So the template looks at our numbers for the week, and it looks at our reviews for the week before, and it also looks at our team tree, and that is duplicated front and back. So there's numbers that are very important to the chefs. They need to know their cogs, they want to know the hours that they spent the week before, and they need to know how that goes against the sale. Roughly percentage wise was that in control, or were we over? And if we were over, by how many? Like, was it just by 2 hours, or was it by 10? Same with the reviews. The obvious is food, service is service. But there is also clashes where like food can be complained as cold, but then it's like, okay, well, front of house, it's not just cold because kitchen. I think it's also where the front of house runs it out.
Yes.
It's really little, I think, things like that. But if you address them on the spot and then you address them with that meeting template there, just makes the whole conversation, I think, more efficient. Everyone, it's like in front of everybody. So we're all just going through it. And that's our weekly one. So for the monthly, it's that, but with four rows. Mm-hmm. And that's when you start to see the really good thing, like patterns. And those patterns are important because especially I feel like we're on the floor, we could feel so busy. And we go, oh my God, it's been like an amazing period of time. We're so, so busy. But then if you take a step back, you look, you're like, oh crap, we've just had two busy weekends. But it feels, because it's physical work, it feels busy.
Yeah.
You could have that in the exact same turn backwards. You could feel like, oh my gosh, like something's going seriously wrong. Do we need to do promotions? We need to do something. But then if you take a step back, you're like, okay, it's been 1 month. And it's 1 month, the same time every year. We go through this every year. Like it's, I think it gives you a nice reality check. So that way it keeps all of us, I think, quite honest to what's actually happening, like I think in the industry or like within our venues as well. It was a piece of material that anchored everybody from different parts of the business. The conversation point where we were all able to look at the same goal together, but still be in our areas to discuss. Mm-hmm. Like I could look at the same piece of paper and my view of it is, oh man, I need to make sure we get more covers in on like the obvious weekday lunches. So like, why is my Saturday lunch covers dropping? Crap. Like, you know, some people have complained about their menu being a little bit too big. Maybe it's messy. I need to read. So I'm looking at it in that way. But then our front of house manager will look at it and be like, ooh, I should probably cut Monday night. I think my labor's a bit overnight. So I know exactly where I use the extra labor. That wasn't a good decision. Or he could look at it and be like, ooh, no. Same with the team tree, because it's every week we're bringing it out and we're looking at it. We never get into, we still do, but like we now much less than before get into times where, you know, you lose half the team before you even know it. Like one goes, two goes. It's more like, oh, we're always talking about what's happening at the store with our teams, to the point where I think you shouldn't get, we still do, but much less. Those last minute surprises where you go into a peak season and you're like, crap, I need to hire like half my team.
Yeah.
And by the time I train half my team, I'm training them through peak season. I'm not confident. So I think just, again, I don't know, something like that weekly meeting notes. And by the way, like it's, we have that there, but we're also in the background got weekly meeting notes from the year before. So we're looking at like similar, not every week's going to be the same, especially the last few years. It's been so different, but we kind of have some comparable points that we look at and be like, oh, actually, and then we use the same notes and we look forward a month.
Sure.
So we could see what's to come. We can say, oh, it's going to trend upwards a little bit and maybe dip slightly down. So when we write our rosters, we're also projecting, it's not just a hard guess. So we kind of take the previous and then we forecast forwards, and also the actual state of the industry as well. Take all that into account, and then that's how we're building not just rosters, but our decisions, when we plan to run menus, when we plan to do campaigns. It's all sort of anchored around that, like 3 months back, 3 months forward, kind of like there.
Yep.
And they just sort of have that. And then the one behind it is the year before. We don't always look at the year before now, because we realize the year before and the year before that, it was so skewered. I feel it told and gave us a totally different story than what actually was. I think we had to be looking at 2019, 2018.
Pre-COVID.
Like post-COVID, it was obvious. It was Melbourne money, JobKeeper. There was so much money being injected that everyone just wanted to go out.
Mm.
People were like, $25 for a cocktail? No way. Like, that's awesome. I'll have three of them, thanks.
Yes.
Now, like, I'm kind of like, what? $20 for a cocktail? Are you crazy? We do our best to still look at it, but we know, especially now, that I think this year is going to set the tone for the next year and the year after.
Sure.
Last year's kind of doing it, but there were still spikes here and there. But this year is almost like ground zero.
Mm.
So we're trying to accumulate as much data and as much things that are happening now. So then when we look back onto our next year, we have a bit more of an idea of what to expect.
For a hospitality owner who is thinking about what you're saying and go, oh, that sounds like a lot of work, you know, and like, how long does it take you to pull all that data and have that ready for those weekly, monthly, quarterly, yearly meetings with your team? Like, your team helping you with that information?
Yeah.
Are you doing it all? Like, how's it sort of work?
Oh, okay. So the weekly meeting notes get prepared by the managers.
Yep.
Because we have like all the pod systems in place and the booking platforms in place. Because we want to know their point of view. Like, there's no point me going in on a weekly meeting telling them about, anything. I think I'm the last person to add anything. We're in there to find out the pulse from them. So they would be building that. And I'd say it normally takes maybe no more than half an hour. It's just copying down your sales, copying down your covers, copying down your average spend, your Uber sales, your food, drink. And then it's just copying through my rostered hours and my actual hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also quite important to know. Like, I rostered on 500 hours, but I actually used 520. Where did the extra 20 hours come from and why was that used? Same for cost of goods, how much we spent and how much was targeted.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it takes probably maximum 10 minutes, less, like 5 minutes to copy down, because it's all the numbers you have in front of you already.
Sure.
Maybe the time that takes a little bit more could be just the question goes like, can you make some comment on these numbers? What could have impacted them? So it gets them thinking, 20 hours, why did I need to use that? And they're doing all that without us there. I think we're almost training them to run their own businesses, because you would do that with your own business and then come the reviews. So they just have to look through the booking platform and see what was the last. And the booking platform's good because it covers Google, Facebook, anywhere that would possibly leave a review. And then they just need to, again, make any notes or comments or trends that they're starting to notice in the venues, anything about the customer side of things. That I'd say takes probably another maximum 10 minutes. And the people is probably where it gets a little bit more, especially if there was training happening, they just need a report on the training. It's reporting what you did, but in a constructed way. Then there's always a section for like kind of like miscellaneous, like what are the ops that's happening, what's your focus for this week, what are the specials that we're trying to run. I think anything else that you'd naturally need. From my side, when we make those quarterly notes, that does take a bit more time because it's a lot quicker with ChatGPT.
Like, yes.
We used to look at our customer feedback report and go through hundreds of feedback and manually find the comparisons.
Wow.
Now we can just run it, copy paste into it, and just go find top three. It's not always accurate, but it's enough for you to sort of look in that way. And it's like find the top three common words that keeps getting brought up. That I think before it might have taken us a couple of hours to make three venues worth.
Yep.
Now it'll take us like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
KPIs. So we do have an account team that are very good at just, again, it's habit. They just put, I think it's discipline. If you keep putting numbers into a spreadsheet, any document, any Word doc, over time, because you're putting enough in, you are going to see a pattern. As soon as you miss a week or two, just go back, add those 2 weeks in, and then you're gonna be able to find the patterns. We do that in, like, we have a marketing calendar, and that marketing calendar isn't just like when we're doing things. We have at the very top the weeks, the key school holidays, public holidays. So we mention those. And then on the bottom, we have the weekly sales of that week. And we just trend it across. And we just go red for under a certain budget. Black is beyond target. You know, you could see the trend of, oh, that lead up to this particular maybe Easter break
sure.
was really busy, and it's been that for 3 years now.
Mm.
So we know that leading into Easter, either we need to give it more of a push to leverage it more, or let's hold that and then focus on the special days after. Having those, it just gives you a bit more of a like confidence behind the things you're doing, marketing included. It can umbrella over a lot.
My final question to you is, like, I feel like we always say the industry is an interesting place, especially the last 10 years. The food media like to say that there's challenges in the industry and talk about closures and all that kind of stuff. And the next thing you read is all these openings that are happening.
Yeah.
As a hospitality leader, like, how are you feeling about the industry at the moment? Are you feeling really positive? Are you feeling just okay? Like, is it hard to sort of navigate your emotions and how you feel about the industry you're a part of?
Yeah, I think it is hard. And I think because we were looking at our numbers compared to last year and the year before, it is like heartbreaking when you go, oh my gosh, I am not doing what I was. Because on a natural scale, you always want to be increasing every single year.
Sure.
But this year, in truth, like, we haven't increased. The haven't increased is a worry. We're not dropping, but the not right. increase is still fearful, because you're like, this is the first time where we don't see growth. But I think that comes back to, what are we comparing it to? That's where the numbers actually, it gives you honest truth and bare truth, but also gives you that like calming that's like, no, actually you're not doing bad. We can look back at it 5 years from now and go, oh, well, isn't that the obvious trend? But it doesn't feel like that because we're in it day to day right now. There is plenty of new openings, which I think is good, because I heard someone else say, like, there's a lot of venues and there's a lot of venues closing. It's just doing that like whoop. And I think it's going to just reshuffle like a lot of things. And she was saying it from a really positive perspective, even though it's like, it is painful, because that's a lot of families. That's a lot of people's, like, their entire lives that are part of that reshuffle. And then you've got those new venues that are like, we've been doing the best we've ever done. No shit. You've been doing this 1 year. Like, yes, I think that can also get mixed in the messaging as well. For us, because we've been around for a little bit and we do have a lot of numbers to compare to, we don't know what to compare to.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, like, what year are we getting to? Everything is different.
Yeah.
So I think this year, we're sort of said to ourselves, we're going to call it ground zero. This is the new start of, I hate it, but like, that new normal that we're looking at. And then next year, we'll look back onto this and see how we're going. But I feel like it's not only about sales. It's also about like the profit you're making within the sales.
Mm.
If we just accepted, which now we've sort of said, okay, we can still make good in the current state.
Yeah.
If we can make good in the current state, let's just hold on. Like, I think it is about who does last this period. There's different ways to I think, approach it. And from that, there's also different ways. The things you choose to do will also define the next period. The other one is, I feel we do catering as well. And we've noticed our catering take a bit of uptake. We're probably one of those in that area being like, we're going great. We're new to it. But I think, like, there's always going to be sales happening somewhere. You just got to sort of sense, where is it currently happening?
Sure.
And then just sort of slightly bend in that way, still keeping to your core. And then when that sort of goes through, then you sort of bend back to your original core and you stay on track. Hospitality will just never die. It will. It's, I feel that industry, as challenging and painful it can be, it will never, ever die. The feeling you get when you go out to a venue and the memories you make, like, you will not make that at home.
Thanks so much for having us. Thanks so much for running 3 amazing venues in this city, and the longevity of the brand. Is a testament to how the whole team runs your venues, but especially you. So thanks very much for chatting with us.
Thank you. I think it's 100% the team, not
not just you.
They are their next level. The team is incredible.
Awesome.
Thanks, Shadon.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Ingredients. Now, if this episode has sparked something for you, like an idea or a question or a reminder, we'd love for you to share it with those in the industry that you know. So hit follow or subscribe on your podcast app or wherever you're listening or watching to this from. And if you've got 30 seconds, a quick rating or review always makes a huge difference for us in helping others find the show too. You can also follow us at Open Pantry Co. on Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, or TikTok to keep up with what we're building. Finally, we've also got a newsletter which comes out every other Friday called The Sandwich Press. But don't worry, all the links to find out all about this are in the show notes of this podcast. Until next time, keep creating the kind of venues that people want to come back to. Cheers.